Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. And while you're turning there, let me just say this. We truly and appreciate the support of this church. Y'all are so kind and gracious. You can go ahead and stand when you found your place. I see some are. We certainly do that. And but let me just say, we're very honored and thankful that y'all support us like you do every month. And I've met some folks that they don't appreciate it. And but I don't want you to ever get that idea about us. It means a whole lot to us. My daddy, he taught me, he said, son, he said, you can do something I can't do. I ain't called to preach. He said, but I can do something you can't do, and that's go make some money so you don't starve. He said, so don't you ever not appreciate the folks that grind it out all week long so they can bring something to the house of God and even some extra for some folks here and there. And we truly appreciate that. And I won't make my wife stand up, mainly because tomorrow's our anniversary and I don't want to start off with her mad at me, all right? We'd be 7 years tomorrow. It's been the best 7 years of my life. But we got a new little baby, so you can go around and be seeing him if you want afterwards, little Kaysen. And we got three youngins now, so somebody told us, they said, two is an adjustment, three is a circus. And so we joined in, and we found out it's a circus, but it's a whole lot of fun. And so God's been good and gave us another, so you can go by and see our little baby. We sure appreciate you and your prayers. Acts chapter number 15 this morning. And this has been strong on my heart for a couple of weeks as I begin to ask the Lord and prepare to be here. And I don't know who all this is for. There'll be something in here for everybody. But I believe there's probably some folks today that can relate to John Mark. And I hope that it'll help you this morning. Acts 15 and 36. The Bible says, in some days, after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, and were not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp. Watch this now. This is a heart this morning. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. I'll take these verses and a few more this morning, and for just a little while, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought, the God of second chances. The story of John Mark. Let us pray. Father, we do love you this morning. God, I don't count it as an obligation, but God, I count it as a privilege to get to come to the old church house. God, to be with the precious people of God. Lord, thank you for this dear pastor's dear people. God, I pray today that you would give each person that which they need. Dear God, I don't have it in myself, well aware of my inabilities, but God, I just pray, Lord, that by the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, may you meet with us this morning as you already have. God, may you walk up and down these aisles. And God, if there be one lost among us, how we pray, you'd squeeze on their heart. God, may they be saved. God, touch every Christian in the building. Maybe some that's failed, some that's walking at a distance, some their past wounds. I pray today, God, you'd give them a word that would change their lives. How we pray you'd bless this church. May great days be ahead. God, I pray you'd just help us this morning. Holy Ghost, you're the honored guest. Have your will and way. May Christ be exalted. He's the only attraction. Dear God, do for us today what we stand in need of. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. The God of second chances. Now, I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm just an old-fashioned country preacher, and I know that's how your pastor is. And so we preach all the time about living right and doing right, and we try to preach this Bible line upon line and Scripture upon Scripture. And the man of God will tell you, don't do this and do that, and don't let your kids go or do this or do this over here. And the reason why is because the love that is in our heart and the way that we don't want to see you messed up, and we know what the devil's doing. And so we're all the time saying, hey, if you do it right, you don't have to live with regrets. Young people, I say it all the time, I'll say it again this morning. The best testimony on planet Earth in the church is not the hardcore sinner that gets saved by the grace of God, but rather it is the young person gives their life to Christ while they're young, and they marry right, and they stay in the church, and they stay out of sin, and they do their best to be tender to God. And one day they can say, I don't know what it's like to be drunk. I don't know what it's like to live in this world. I don't know what it's like to mess up my life. I don't have a bunch of outward scars on me. That is the best testimony that anybody could ever stand up and say. And I preach to every one of you today, it pays to stay at the house of God. It pays to live for God. I'm for every single bit of that this morning. But I'm also well aware of the generation that we live in. Had a lot of people, ain't had a lot of help. And they come out of tough homes and broken hearts, and sin don't play fair. And the devil's all over the place. And the church as a whole in our country has lost power. And so people have nothing that's constrained them. And so when they come to a Holy Ghost church like this, they're carrying baggage. You got weight in your past. Some of you, it ain't even your past. It's still your present. Some of you's hiding things from your family. Mom and daddy don't know what's on that phone. And you know, I'm young enough. I know everything about them phones. You can put Life 360 on it. You can put Covenant Eyes on it. But every one of them's got a back door where if you've got a passcode or an overriding system, you can go into another system that overrides that system. There is absolutely no way to 100% make anybody do anything. That's why I say if you can just get somebody to love God, love will make them act right. Love will make them not want to hurt the heart of God. Love can go where you can, in a dark place, in a place that shouldn't be, or when somebody comes after them. I'm telling you, the best life to live is one where you sell out to God and live for Him. You ain't missing out on anything. I've been on both sides. It's the best life you could. I have more fun now sleeping, being right with God, than I used to running the streets away for the devil in this world. It pays to live for God. But hear me this morning, if you got some problems, if you messed up somewhere in your life, there's a God that'll give you another chance. Now let me say this morning, and we'll get into it. We're not talking about, I'm preaching a lot of church folk this morning, and there's a whole lot of youngins at this church, and that thrills my heart. I preach a lot of places, and your pastor does too. There ain't nobody younger than me in the whole church. All week at Revive. Nobody. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm probably preaching to a lot of youngins that's grown up under the cross. You've been in church all your life, just like I was. But you better hear what the preacher's telling you today. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Living for God, having good parents or a good church or a good pastor is not enough to make it and be able to have a good testimony. How you know, preacher? John Mark is the son of Mary. He's the cousin to Barnabas. He's got an incredible family heritage. You study that thing out. John Mark comes from the pedigree of pedigrees. He couldn't have had a better raising. He couldn't have had, listen, his mama, Jewish history says, was a wealthy woman who actually funded and housed most of the ministry of Jesus. He would do a lot of his works. A lot of times when you hear about him preaching in a house, a large house, a big compound, a big place, you can see some of that in Israel. We're talking about this young man's mama. Mama was the one that was taking care of much of the Lord's earthly business. It can't get much better than that, than to grow up at the feet of Jesus and to have a mama like that and to have a raisin like that. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen, if it could happen to him with that kind of heritage, it can happen to you and me, because this thing is not about what mom and daddy does for God. It ain't about what your pastor does for God. This thing is personal in your life.
They can't do all your praying. Your pastor can't do all your praying. Mom and daddy, somebody's got to go get God. Listen, I've been a Baptist all my life. I know how the Baptist church works. We got a 4-mile prayer list and a 2-minute prayer life. Some of my own family, something will go on. My mama, she don't know how to run technology. I'm her favorite. But I'll go on and say this because she'll never know I said it. Y'all don't tell her, all right? Stuff happens, she'll say, we need to call the preacher. I said, we ain't Catholic. Why don't we call on God? Well, we need the preacher to pray. I said, I'm sure he wouldn't be offended. I said, but mama, we can talk to God. I said, you're saved, ain't you? She said, well, I don't know all my life. We just tell the preacher, he puts it on the prayer list. We need prayer. I said, I'm not against that. But we can just get down right here where we're at and call on God. And God of heaven can do something for us. I'm just trying to tell you today, your heritage is not enough. Your pastor can't pray you into it. Your family can't pray you into it. I don't care who you are, where you come from. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. And everybody makes their own choices. And it is personal between you and God if you're going to make it through this life. And John Mark, somewhere in the midst of all of this, didn't quite get everything he needed. Because my Bible says that God has never put us in a position where we couldn't succeed. No temptation's that great. There's always a way of escape. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We were never meant to fail. If we fail, it ain't God. It's always us. Had we heard Him, had we been where we could hear the voice of God, had we been in the Word of God, had we been in the house of God, had everything been right, listen to me today. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care what's going on at your house. If you're in the right position with God, you will win every day of your life. It may not always feel like it. It may not always be the way me and you want it to go, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Somewhere John Mark missed something God had for him, and he got him in a mess. I wonder what we're missing today. I wonder, is there a weak chain somewhere or link in your chain? I wonder, is there a soft spot somewhere in your life? And you don't think it's a big deal. And I may not think it's a big deal in my life, but you understand John Mark never dreamed that he was going to get in the mess he's fixing to get in. And I say all that this morning because I'm Baptist and I know how we are. The devil's and your flesh, and some of y'all is going to say, oh, you a Christian, you've been saved a long time. He ain't preaching to you today. You just check out. But I'm preaching to the young person. I'm preaching to the lost person, sinner friend that's here today. I'm preaching to the prodigal. But I'm also preaching to us that pray every day, read our Bible every day. And I mean preaching to you if you've been saved for 60 years or more. Because every one of us are one bad decision, one little moment, one little attitude, one little feeling on our sleeve away from being a John Mark and making a mess out of our lives. This will help all of us today. Number one, I find the failure he faced. Verse 38, but Paul thought it not good to take him with him. Because it says, who departed? Here's what happened. John Mark was converted under the apostle Simon Peter. That's what history tells us. And John Mark was chosen to go on the first missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. He was the young man following the old men of God. His job was to record what went on, to be the writer, and to follow in their shadow. For a while, this was wonderful, and he was excited, no doubt. But history tells us that most likely, he got offended at how Paul preached whosoever will, and he preached the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. Because Simon Peter was who he was converted under, you remember? Peter and Paul even had contentious words. Paul had to rebuke Peter about how he was still trying to dwell in Judaism instead of the age of grace, the church age. And they had to deal with that thing between the two of them about works and about Gentiles. So John Mark's got this in his heart deep. And somewhere along the way, the good that he saw was overshadowing. You better hear, I'm about to help you this morning if you'll let me. the good that John Mark saw, all these miracles. Think about all we know in our Bible from the missionary journey, and then think about we only know a small part. He saw it. He felt it. It was amazing. But somewhere all the good that he saw was overshadowed by what he was frustrated about. Ain't it amazing how the devil will make little things so big? He's in the greatest place he could ever be. God is literally making him his pet. Every other young preacher in that day probably wanted to be where John Mark was, getting to go with the Apostle Paul, the greatest New Testament preacher and Christian. But somewhere, he said, well, folks are being saved, churches are being planted, miracles are happening, people are being healed, all this power of God, all of this excitement. But I'm just going to tell you right now, he may be doing all that, but old Paul's wrong. I ain't going to stand for this much more. He ain't doing this the way I think he ought to do it. I'm offended by some of these things. And John Mark decides to leave. Now I'm going to give you a good verse that we need in our Baptist churches. Listen, I ain't against nobody else, but I ain't going to pick on them. I ain't never been one. The Bible says in Proverbs, only by contention, only by pride, rather, comes contention. So let me ask you a question. My grandpa raised me this way. He was no preacher, but he was the kind of man you could build a church on. He was always on the second row, left-hand side of the old church house. They said one time, you go side with the preacher or not? Papa said this. He said, is he in that Bible? They said, well, he ain't doing nothing unbiblical. We don't have no verse on it. We just don't like it. He said, as long as that pastor that we have ain't outside that book, he said, I'm going to stand with the man of God because that's what the Bible says. And unless he defiles the book or defiles the call, then I'm going to stand with the man of God. And they about squash that whole little deal there at the church. I remember as a young teenager, what he's saying to me, preacher, I'm saying this today, ladies and gentlemen. You got a church full of people and young folks and a bleeding, and it's wonderful, and God is moving, and souls are being saved, and lives are being changed. Isn't it amazing how you can have 90% of everything going well, but if we ain't careful, it ain't always drugs and alcohol that gets us out of church and pornography and adultery. I'm against all that today, and you better safeguard your life. It happens to people in the church like out of the church, but you better understand today, there's a whole lot of people that love God and are saved, but they ain't in church today. But they ain't got nothing to do with alcohol and drugs. They got offended at something like John Mark. Well, I just ain't how I want it. Well, so-and-so always seems to get to sing and not me. Who cares? Folk going to hell. My home church used to run 600, not my home church now, but when I was a boy where my grandpa was. Most of my family buried out back. Big old building, ran 600 in Sunday school. Power of God moving, soul saved all the time. Pastor went to evangelism. You know why he went to evangelism? God was done with the church. Why was he done, preacher? Because they got in an argument over what type of family life center gymnasium we was going to build. One feller said, let's build a two-story. That made the most sense. If you're already going to have the building, might as well just put some Sunday school rooms in there, give the church more space. Only problem was, one other man that was a handyman too, he didn't think of that idea. He said a one-story, and so pride got in the way. Because I can't, no way that man's smarter than I am. Listen, my dad says it best. He said, son, we can have several good ideas, and one of them can just be God's idea, but when we pick this one, it don't mean the other ones wasn't good. The whole church is down to 20 people now, and they just become a satellite campus of a big liberal church in our town. No more power of God. No more Sunday excitement. It wasn't because anybody defied God. It wasn't because the pastor was in sin. It wasn't because anybody burned the church building down. It wasn't because who the president was in the White House or a bad economy. We lost it all in my childhood over whether we was going to have a one-story or a two-story building. And we ain't talking about sinners now. I'm talking about these men that were fighting with each other, spent every Saturday night praying and every Sunday morning teaching Sunday school. Bad things can happen with good men. I'm talking about any of us. We better know our flesh is in check. We better understand that if God's in something, if we don't agree, we better just pray about it. Oh, what John Mark messed up and what failure he faced because he got mad at the preacher and went home. You know, I deal with people all the time that have church hurt. But isn't it amazing that we keep going back to places that are full of hypocrites like Walmart? But we won't go to church if we know one's there. Heard an old timer say this. I thought, that's pretty good. This is good wisdom right here. He said, folks always talking about I'm sick and tired of hypocrites at church. He said, where else should they go if there's ever going to be any help? If you're a hypocrite, it's a good place to come. You might get some help. Watch this now. I'm moving on. Jewish history says that that young man, if you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a young man. The Bible says he was naked. And he ran when they come to arrest our Lord. Jewish history says that was John Mark. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. He was running when he was a young man. Just very young. But now, as the young preacher man, he's still running. He ran from the garden in fear. He ran from the missionary journey in frustration. But he's always running. Can I ask you something today? How much running you been doing? Preacher Brown used to say in Bible college, he called them glory hoppers. They'll come to the church while it's high, but they'll leave every time it's low. And they'll join every church in a town from here to the east of the Mississippi. Listen, church ain't always going to be easy. Marriage ain't always easy. It pays to stay together. God honors that. Having children ain't always easy. Matter young, and I've already figured out it ain't always cupcakes and roses. Especially raising boys when they're little. Say amen. They'll push you, but you stay with it because it's worth it. I wonder this morning, are you running? Daddy, are you running? Has God hurt you somewhere? God let you down somewhere? There's a whole lot of people you won't pray because you prayed one time and God didn't do what you wanted. You've been running ever since. The devil has you on the run. Something went wrong with your parents and now you won't love nobody. You can't even fathom loving God. You're running because you hurt. Right. Folks come to church every week, Sunday mornings. And they'll come to church because they know that they probably should, or there's something on the inside that's a pulling and a tugging and saying, boy, that could be something that happened at the church. It's what you've been looking for. But they always leave more discouraged than they came. And then sometimes they even just quit coming and they got all excuses in the world. But hear what I'm telling you this morning. Your failures are in your life, not because of somebody else, but because of you. Until we own our failures. My problems was not because my church split. My issues and my sins in my life was because I miss God. I am not the product of anybody else. That's a problem in our country. Own it in your own life and come to this place and say, God, I'm ready to address it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of hiding from it. I'm tired of blaming everybody else. You want some real help? There's some real help at the house of God. God still has all the power. The Bible still has all of the infallible power, and it still has everything that it always has. But the reality is this morning. You got to be tired of running. The failure he faced. But watch this. The fellow laborers he forfeited. Listen quickly because I want to get to this third one. Look at verse 39. It says the contention was so sharp they departed from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and went one way. Paul took Silas and went the other way. Here's all I want to say about this morning. Here's what the Lord has in my heart. Hear what I'm telling you. Think about everything that John Mark missed out on. Young folks, could I preach to you right quick? When I look back on my life, I think about from the time of being 15 to about 17, almost 18, I think about all the good things I missed out on. When I ran from God and ran out of the church and blamed everybody else. When I look back on it, I think God was calling me to preach at 11 years old, but I ran from it. And I was running every day since then till God ran me down in Myrtle Beach. What if I'd have just answered the call to preach at 11? I wonder how many scars I wouldn't have to tote. I wonder how many good things I've missed out on. See, John Mark, it should have always been the three of them. And I know God worked it out in the end, but it could have been different. Wonder what all John Mark was supposed to have seen, supposed to have experienced. Wonder all the sleepless nights and tears he shed because he realized he had messed up. No doubt when he got back home, somewhere along the way, God got a hold of him. And he was sorry. And we're going to find that here in a minute. But I wonder how many days he sat there and said, I wish I'd have never ran. I wish I'd have stayed humble. I wish I'd have stayed at the house of God, the man of God, the things of God. Because listen, as old brother Charles Worley used to preach, one of his most powerful messages, they some things you can never take back. If you mess up on God, and if you blow this thing and you blow your home plumb in half, there's no going back on that. God can have grace. God can fix it to some degree. But it'll never be what it could have been. It'll never be what it should have been. You blow your opportunity raising children, and they miss out on all of their children's clubs and all the preaching and their childhood foundations. God can work some things out, but it'll never be what it should have been. We get one shot. But as the old missionary preacher was quoted as saying, in life you get one chance. But if you do it right, one's enough. Amen. Not long ago, me and John, we went with several preachers to go pray. We always usually go about once a year, take some young men, some friends, and we go pray down there where Dr. Ray used to be. And we was down there, and there's a spot up near the front where it's got an oil stain down there from a long time ago. And as I was sitting there on the front row, ladies and gentlemen, you hear what I'm telling you? I was staring at that spot, and I thought about how years ago there was a whole bunch of us young men that used to go. And I was thinking about how God has blessed some of them. And God's let me, by the grace of God, be an evangelist. Let several of them be pastors. The young man that I'm going to preach for the next 2 weeks up on the mountain, one of the most supernatural things you ever seen, a church about 40, 50 people that bought a $500,000 mountain has paid off. Got $1 million view. I mean, listen, we talk all day. He was down there in them early times. He gave his life to God. He's a young preacher, probably from 11, 12 years old. He's got that testimony. I see the hand of God. I see others from all walks of life. Some saved out of roughness. Some saved right off a church pew. But then I think about some and I wept. I said, my one buddy, he's messed up doctrinally. Here's another buddy, he's not even in church. Here's another buddy, we ain't even sure if he's saved. We don't know what happened. Think about Bible college. Your pastor coming to preach for us. Always when I pull in down here, things run through my mind. I thought about back at school. Some of the boys, man, God's just, I mean, they're blowing the roof off and God's using them. Some of them, we don't even know where they at. They running. Some of them got messed up in the world. But listen to me. There's a whole lot of them. They let some little petty thing, they got offended at their pastor. Or they got offended at somebody else in the church. Or they took a church and something didn't go just the way they wanted and they blamed God. There's a lot of John Marks in Sunday morning church. All of the stories are a little different. But I wonder what all you've been forfeiting. How many friends could you have around the church if you'd really put your heart into this thing? Well, I've been hurt at church before, preacher. I ain't doing that again. You say, oh, preacher, folk ain't like that. My own family's like that. Some of my family has never recovered from what happened in 2003. Friend, we coming up on 20 years. Some of my family's never joined another church. They go every Sunday, but they don't get involved. They want to hear the preaching. They know they're supposed to be there. They're not living in sin. They pray for the pastor. They give in that offering plate every Sunday. They do everything they know they're supposed to do. But they ain't putting their heart in it. They got their walls. But here's the only problem. If you put your heart out there and somebody hurts you, that ain't fun. But guess what? It's part of it. But one day in heaven, great shall our reward be. But I come to say this to you today. If you put your heart in it, you do pay a price. But when you keep your heart out of it, you pay more of a price. Some of my family's still over here on the side. And I thought about it, the new little message the Lord's put in my heart here. I ain't hardly ever done it. But listen to what I'm telling you today. Writing down the notes, I was just thinking, all the good things my family's missed out on. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Wonder in your life, how many friends you going to miss out on? How many memories you going to miss out on? Some of my lost family, they got out of church when they were kids in 2003. I wonder how many of these youngins would have wept their way to Jesus in an altar. They'd already be saved. Married a Holy Ghost-filled spouse. Living, serving in the church. But instead, their kids had children out of wedlock. They won't even come in a church door. They're living like the devil would want them to. But if you ask them, is anything wrong? Nope. I got this thing figured out now. I go to church, but that's it. I ain't fooling with them. And they can't even see. Their life should have been so different. Listen to me today, young folks, your life is all before you. Every morning when you wake up, you're writing your story. You can't rewrite yesterday. But you write today and tomorrow and every day forward. The devil ain't a big enough devil to write any notes in your story. Greater is He that's in me. I don't care what's going on in this world. You don't have to fail. Mom and Daddy, we don't have to fail. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we forfeit, you know what happens in a ball game if it's forfeited? That ain't the opposing team that did anything. That's on your own personal choice. All you got to do to not forfeit is show up. God said if we show up, He wins the war. He wins the battles. He does all the fighting. All we got to do is be there. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. Don't pull back. Don't let things be carried long term. Bury them at the foot of the cross. Here's how it ends. I'm out of the way. The forgiveness He found. Look at what 2 Timothy 4:11 says. Bible says, only Luke is with me. But watch this. Take Mark. Bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know what history tells us? History says that it took 10 to 11 years from when the contention was so sharp. Because, hear me, if you mess up on God, you never just do it to yourself. We counsel folk all the time. Daddy will say, well, it's just me. Mama says, it's just me. Young person says, it's just me. No. No, our children are watching. Our grandbabies are watching. Young folks' friends are watching. Everybody that has a John Mark moment always carries a Barnabas with them. Barnabas was his cousin. He had his interest at heart. Barnabas had no choice but to go with him. He put him in a terrible situation that should have never been. And for 10 to 11 years, nobody was able to work together. There was a day. Paul's probably matured some. He's a type A guy. No doubt John Mark's matured. He can be trusted. And when the two perfectly blended together, because there's always a God of a second chance, and a third chance, and another chance. You say, preacher, I got a mess up in my life. I didn't do things right before. I'm here today. I messed up in sin, or I got all between me and God, or I didn't do well at the last place I was at a church, or I hadn't always done things right by the Bible, or in my marriage, or raising my children. All of us have got a John Mark regret in our life somewhere, but I come to let you know today, it may be a long 10 to 11 years. There is a, listen, we will reap what we sow. There is a payday, but I'm glad there's a God that's full of grace as well. And it ain't over till God says it's over. He can always turn things around in our lives. Failure never has to be final in our lives. And Paul said, bring John Mark, he's profitable. He didn't always get it right, but he finished right. Let me give you this, and I'm about done. Do you know what John Mark's name means in Greek? Means Yahweh is gracious. You say, preacher, what in the world's that got to do with me? Boy, I'm glad you asked. I about tore the hotel room up when I found this studying. You know what it means? It means this, that before John Mark was ever conceived in his mother's womb, God already knew who he'd be, the good he would do, but he also knew the failure he would have. So when his mama said, what are we going to name him? The Holy Ghost said, I got a plan. And he's going to need extra grace. So what you name him John Mark, because Yahweh is gracious. Can I tell you something today? I preach strong, living right, doing right, because it's better. It's better that way. But boy, I preach just as strong. When you mess up, there's a God that will throw you out the back door and leave you in the backyard. He ain't ashamed of us. You ain't a second-rate citizen. If you'll come get it right with a holy God, there's a God that'll be gracious in your life. I wonder if John Mark came back home, got right, and he sat around beating his head, and the devil said, you've never recovered. It's all over. Everybody's going to hate you. You're the biggest mess up there's ever been. You're a flop. You're absolute nothing. But I wonder if somewhere along the way, the Lord sat down beside him and said, why do you think your name is what it is anyways? Because God already knew this was going to happen, but he's going to be gracious in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you will find a God that if you will humble yourself and if you'll tell God the truth, if you'll get honest with God, there's a God that'll be gracious in our lives. God is always gracious. You say, but preacher, I bet he didn't do nothing else for God. I bet his failures hindered him. They're going to hinder me. Well, listen to this. He authored the second gospel. He's serving with Timothy in Asia Minor. After Paul says he's profitable, Paul puts him in Asia Minor. They're working with churches. Jewish history says also that he established churches in Egypt. He spent the rest of his life planting churches and doing big things for God. And you sat on a church pew today, and the same devil that talks to me talks to you. He says things like this. Well, you can't pray. We know who you used to be. Well, you can't teach Sunday school. We know about your failure. The devil will tell you God can't use you. But listen, ain't none of us messed up no worse than John Mark. God put all that into him, and he had the best position of anybody, and he blew it. Listen, sometimes as Christians, we don't get everything right. Sometimes we miss the mark. But you listen to this statement. Sometimes you can't trust your conscience. You must trust the cross. If God's forgiven you, then you have to forgive yourself. May I say it like this today? If you bringing up your past or anybody else's, you ain't acting like God because He said He chooses to forget it. We acting like the devil. Because he's the only one ever talking about anybody's past. But preacher, I just can't in my mind. Don't trust your conscience. Trust the cross. Jesus didn't die for perfect folks. They wouldn't have needed Him. He didn't build the church. He didn't die to start the church. He didn't do any of this for perfect folks that wouldn't have needed it. It's a hospital for hurting people. The same God that changed the life of John Mark is the same God that can change your life. Because Yahweh is gracious. Miss Lindsay's going to come. I'm done. But I just want to tell you something today. I could say a lot more. I could say a lot more, but we've said what we need to. I don't know who all this is for. Boy, I could feel that warfare in my soul while I'm up here preaching. Because the devil knows that if John Marks ever find out that they ain't got to stay where they at, the church would really do something for God. Some of you in here, you ain't right with God yet. You lost or backslid. You can't come to the place where you're profitable till you first get saved or get right with God. But there's a whole other slew of you in here. You got hidden things that nobody else knows. But you won't deal with it with God. Secret hurt, bitterness. Sometimes I think about a story like Cyclone Mac. Y'all look that up sometime. I ain't getting into all that. Turned out to be a giant for God, but he almost lost it all. Running with gangs. He was a professional gambler. You know how he got there? He got bitter. He got bitter. His daddy got saved in the Holy Ghost. He watched it. 5-year-old boy. Remembers it. Testified about it after he... But it don't matter your pedigree. Bitterness is sneaky. Well, so-and-so don't half live for God like I do, and they have seems like everything goes fine, and I'm always struggling. And if you don't bury that at Calvary, you get bitter. Bitter about parents. Bitter about a spouse that walked out. Bitter about a prodigal child. Broken over some preacher that let you down. Some folks won't have a pastor because some hireling did some terrible things. But we don't throw the whole apples card out because there's one bad one. You don't throw the baby out with the bathtub just because there's a little trouble. Listen, Jesus had 12 and even one of them was a devil. There's always going to be some problems. If the perfect Lamb of God, I mean, He knew who Judas was and who He was going to be. He was God. Even God could see the value of some issues in the midst of what's going on. I believe Judas taught them disciples some things they needed to know. Greatest thing ever happened to David was Saul. He'd have never been who he was if it wouldn't have been for Saul. Greatest thing God ever gave David was Saul. Now, he didn't think so. Maybe not till the end of his life. But you know, sometimes your greatest trials is the best thing God ever let happen. Because you wouldn't be who you are. There's a woman I notice, full of God, only about 35 years old. She shouts, heaven comes down. She prays. I call on her to pray before a lot of preachers I know. Young man told me this. He said, I want to marry me one of them girls. I said, sure enough. He said, boy, that'd be wonderful. I said, well, that sounds good. He said, she's all young. I mean, look at it. And I know what he's saying. Just single, dreaming for God. But I said, son, listen to me. I said, all it cost her to be where she's at is her husband running from God, her weeping on an altar begging God to save him, him refusing, him walking out of church one Sunday night. God said, don't you leave. I'm going to get your attention. He said no and left. He said all it cost her was the next day he had an accident while he's building barns and he's paralyzed. And every day she has to change his diaper and get a big 6'6" man out in and out of a car and in and out of raising youngins. I said, she's got all that. He said it just cost her nearly everything. See, a lot of folks would say, man, I bet she's going to get bitter on God. She had every excuse. But see, what she thought was supposed to destroy her is actually what God used to make her. See, you've got your own story. That's what I'm trying to get you to see today. Everything is written in the pages of your life for a reason. God's working a plan. But the devil tries to get us so tunneled and right in the immediate and get us blowed up and blowed out. Because he wants you to quit and run like John Mark and never come back. That doctor's report, somehow, some way, God's trying to do something that's best for you. I know that makes for easy preaching and hard living. But listen, we're living in the darkest world that we've probably ever known in America. This thing is wicked to the core. The only hope of our children is that they'd see a sure enough Holy Ghost revival that would shake them and they'd know there's a God. But that ain't going to come till a bunch of John Marks start saying, I'm going to quit blaming God. I'm going to quit hiding from God. I'm going to quit holding these secret compartments and pushing back God and people and the preacher and everybody else. And I'm going to open up and I'm going to say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of hiding on the inside. I'm tired of living at 50%. I'm going all in, God. And I'm just going to trust you. If you'll do that, I'll tell you what will happen. There'll come a day in your life that you'll say, it's been profitable. You can look at some folks and say, I didn't get it all right. But in the end, God's been faithful. And God has used and blessed my life. Because if He could turn John Mark around, He could turn us around. The devil don't want you to believe that. And I can't make you believe it. But if you'd open your heart to God, and if you'd get real today, and if you'd get open and honest, I promise you your life would forever be different. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.